our worship team. I just want to praise God for what these people do, Lord. It is just so much fun to be able to be in the room and praise His holy name. Can I welcome our online church? Will y'all help me, please? Come on, let's welcome our online church. We're glad you guys are here today. Can we welcome all of our first-time guests that are here today? Thank you for being here. And there's some second and third and few. Hey, we're just glad you're here. Glad you're here. We want you to connect today. And that's going to be the message in a moment. Happy Mother's Day. Can you look around and say Happy Mama's Day to somebody? You notice I changed it real quick. I said Happy Mama's Day. That's the southern way of saying it. And the days that we celebrate like this, I'm always reminded that there's some that don't celebrate. It's a very difficult day because mom is gone. My children's mom left us in 2020, and it is just those days are just hard. You walk up on these days where you just want. I'm thinking of our brother Dan this morning. I don't know if Dan's in the house or not. I don't think he is. I haven't seen him, but lost his mom just a couple days ago. Buried her yesterday, and it's just incredible, difficult times for some. So be praying for folks and loving on people in the midst of your celebration. Remember that. And I don't want to douse anybody's celebration. One of my daughters said the other day, I'm just so glad for people who still get to celebrate their mom or their dad, whatever. And it's a blessing. Don't ever forget it. And it's part of the reason I get frustrated when I hear somebody diss their mom or say something against their mom. You want to get a pastor all tore up, man. I'm going to just go ahead and do that. And or anybody, for that matter, that has any stuff about them. So, man, I'm just so glad to be here today. I'm going to start a brand new series today. And I just want to get right into it. I'm ready to preach, man. It just seems like it's been a whole week since I preached. Anyway, that's a joke. Very little joke, that is. Kudos to Liz today. She's out of pocket today. Her hands are all bruised up. She had carpal tunnel, y'all, on both hands, okay? And people were asking, why would you do that? And her reasoning is, if she just had one and it hurt as bad as it does now, she said, I never would have done the other one. So she's at home today and nursing all of that. And so be praying for her and so many others that can't be here today as well. We're going to start a series today called Connected to Life. Now, it's a series on pruning. I challenge you to find a series title for a message series on pruning that doesn't sound silly. You know, I tried the power of pruning. That doesn't sound good. Pruned, that doesn't sound good either. I even got on ChatGPT and I said, give me some titles to sermons for pruning and according to John chapter 15. Y'all, this AI stuff is just really, really smart. But you're talking about some cheesy titles, man. Do you want it poetic? It asked me. I said, sure. And I can't even remember some of them, but they were just so like cheesy and all that. But what I got to thinking about was that even though we're going to talk about pruning and cutting away things, the real point of pruning is to be connected to the vine. The real point is to be connected to life. One of the best things that I ever hear about our church is that people feel life when they walk in the building. They feel, and it's not us, we don't get to do, we're not a power of any kind without the Lord. So that's what God does, and we are so appreciative of the sense of His presence that's here. Because what I've learned, especially over the past few weeks, but certainly over the past few years, is that the only thing, and you hear it in my prayers all the time, the only thing I can truly count on ever in my life is that God is with me. Amen. And even in those times, and those songs that we sing, a lot of them will admit that, hey, even in times, you know, I'm going to trust you even though I don't see anything going on. If you are not sold out to God to that point, you are in for a very rocky road with your spiritual life. I will just tell you that. Because the expectancy in America is that when you become a Christian, it's like consuming stuff. We're a consumer economy, and so we consume Jesus, we get a happy life, right? Well, it doesn't work that way. In fact, you consume Christ, you put Christ in your life, you have very many challenges coming. And we try not to candy coat that at all. But it's a life that's given me so much more. And that's really about what today is about, is when we prune things, cut things away, God will add things back into our life that you can't even imagine. This sermon could be 3 hours, 4 hours. I could preach for all day on this stuff. But I'm not going to do that, so don't panic. You still get to do Mother's Day lunch. It'll all be good. And y'all, we're going to end our service today baptizing this young lady into Christ. Braylee Braylee's going to be baptized here in just a little while, and you're going to get to witness all of that. And if you're here today and you didn't come prepared, we're prepared for you. And so whenever our worship teams comes up, you can be dismissed and go tell Miss Rebecca. They'll be out in the hallway waiting on you, and we'll fix you up. If the step of water baptism you have not taken, you need to take that step. And so, and one thing I look forward to in Braylee's life, I cannot wait till she sits in front of a camera and shares her story for Faith Under Fire. Because this girl, as young as she is, has walked a road, and I want everybody to hear that story. And I'm looking forward to one day when she shares that story with us. And so many others has a great story to tell. We're going to get to do that. That's in November, though. We're way ahead of myself. All right, here we go. We're going to be in John chapter 15. It's the basis for this conversation we're going to have together. And this morning, I think it was Chelsea in our huddle time mentioned that this series has the opportunity of really kicking us in the rear end and moving us forward. And so I want you to know that I love you before I say some of these things, because some of the stuff's going to touch our lives. It's already touched mine because I've already studied it, and it's going to touch your life in a spiritual way. And the only thing I want out of all of this is for you to connect to Jesus. That's what we're going. That's the bottom line of the whole series right there, connected to Him. The text starts out this way. And if you came in this morning and were given a worship guide, which you should have been, there's sermon notes in there. If you want to fill in some blanks, you can do that. If you want to go onto our website at discoveryal.church. If you haven't downloaded our app, did I tell you all we have an app? Yeah, we need to go in your wherever you get your apps and just type in Discovery Church Athens and download the app, and you'll get a lot of notifications and things about what we're doing, what's going on. You'll be kept up to date. But you can also do your notes there as well. The text starts this way. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain." Everybody say remain. Remain is a huge word in this. In the original language, it's mentioned that word is like 10 times. It's the word, Greek word meno. And so remain in me and I remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. That's a duh statement. You cut them from the vine, you lay it on the ground, it dies, right? And that's what happens. And He says, and you cannot be fruitless unless you remain in me. There's four quick things that I want you to learn about pruning that are just truisms that's going to be the basis, the foundation for all of these messages. And the first one is, and this is in your notes, stay connected to the true source. Jesus didn't just say connect to a vine. He says connect to the true. I am the true grapevine. That means there are false grapevines that you can connect to. Okay, and when you do that, you'll know it by the fruit that's coming out of your life. If you're looking at what you're doing in your life and it's not producing the fruit of the Spirit, then you're in the wrong vine. That's just the way it is, the way it works. You're plugged into something somehow, some way. And He says, so there is a true vine, a good tree produces good fruit. No fruit tree can be better than the actual vine that it's connected to. And He says, remain. Everybody say remain. Remain in me. You're going to need that word remain, because there's going to be days when you don't want to be in Christ. You're so angry or frustrated or whatever it is you are. But He's saying, don't not be in me. Remain in me. Number two, God gets to be the gardener. God's the gardener. He's the one that's tending the garden. He's the one that's tending the vine. And it's His place to decide what is good and bad. Not your culture, not your truth, not what's going on around you, not politics, not any other thing. Any other thing in this world that's trying to teach you something is not the place you want to go. You want God to garden you. And here's the thing. What needs to go in and what needs to remain is what He will put in there if you will allow Him to do that. The greatest power you have in the world is the power to say no to an omnipresent, all-knowing, all-powerful God. And He's given you that will. And the third thing is this. Pruning not only cuts away the dead, it trims the live. So when I started looking at this pruning thing, I thought of a tree in our front yard. And if Liz were here, she'd be rolling her eyes already, because we had this tree in our front yard. And everything else was blooming and growing, getting ready to grow for the spring. And this thing wasn't. And I'd go out to it and look at it, and the limbs were brittle, and I thought, oh, this thing is dead. It's dead as a hammer. Well, no, it's just a late bloomer. But I decided to go out and do some pruning. It started growing a few leaves down, so I just started cutting limbs off and stuff, and Liz was like, don't do that. I have a black thumb. I will kill everything. You know, it's just, I don't have a green thumb at all. I will make everything die if I can. But dead things on the end of a branch are hindering the growth of that thing. But what I didn't know is with roses, especially if you want to trim a rose bush, that what I got this wrong. Y'all can just tell me later, but don't embarrass me in front of everybody. You don't always just cut the dead stuff off. Every now and then you trim something that looks alive or that seems alive in order that the bush can continue to grow and do what it does. So it's not just dead things that gets trimmed. It's live things that gets trimmed. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then the last of these 4 points is this. Though it hurts to trim, pruning is necessary. If you want the plant to grow, you have to cut away these things in order for that to happen. We're going to look at 3 ways over the next few weeks, one today. Today we're going to talk about motives. Next week we're going to talk about thoughts. See, I'm already meddling. You know what I'm going to. And then the last one, we're talking about actions. What are things that are in your life right now that are rivaling for God's attention? Can you just ask that question again? What are the things in your life, I have them in my life, that try to rival, to fight against what God is trying to do in my life? That's where we need to start snipping away from our life. We have to adjust and be done away with some of those things. The point is that staying connected to the source of life and allowing God to cut away the things in our lives that are dead, or even the quote, good things that are hindering our focus, and removing our actual why needs to be removed. And so today we're going to talk about pruning our motives. I looked up the word motive, and the word motive comes from the Latin word. And I don't even know how to say this. You guys who know how to pronounce Latin can do this. It's motivus or motivus, or it's M-O-T-I-V-U-S. And the Latin word literally means to move. It is moving. A motive is the reason for an action that you're taking. So when your parents look at you guys, you youngins in here that are in, your parents look at you and say, why'd you do that? And you go, What you're knowing already in your head is the way you moved was not the way you should have moved. You know it because your parents are going, why did you do that? And you can't come up with a good reason. So you do every lame thing you can, including lying, to get out of whatever trouble you're about to get into. It's your motive, the reason behind it, that gets crazy. So why is it that when I walk across the parking lot and get close to our building and I see a piece of paper on the ground, I pick it up and throw it? It's because I want the place to look good. By the way, the place looks great and smells so good today. I love our clean team, our building team that does that. Miss Amy did it this week. And when Amy comes to clean, this girl gets down on her knees and scrubs the baseboards. I don't know. She's incredible. But I come in this morning and think, smelled so good. Why? Because her motive is she wants it to be excellent. Amen. And so her movement is determined by her why. It's not just getting a building clean. It's knowing that when people come into our building, it smells good and looks good. That's attractive to people. And that's the way we want it to be. So what motivates you to be here this morning? Why are you here? Now, some of you can say, well, I'm here in this particular building today because I'm here to see and be with my mom. Great motive. Great motive. There are all kinds of reasons why you are here today. And for those who aren't here today, there are reasons, good and bad, that they're not here. There is a motivation behind it. Why do you do the work you do? Why do you have the kind of family atmosphere in your home do? Why do you like Italian over Mexican or vice versa? All those things have to do with tastes and ideas, but they ultimately down inside are motive. When I'm hungry, I want to eat, and I want to eat something good because my motive is I am moving towards something good to eat, and I love to eat, praise the Lord. And this last week, I loved it way too much. And I'm paying for that. And I got a chemo treatment tomorrow. My last one, by the way. Cancer out in Jesus' name. And so I know, and I love, and this morning they prayed over me, and they were praying, like, just take the effects of this thing away. So I'm going to go in tomorrow with some confidence and walk out of that feeling really good. I like to try to run the steps back to my car when I got the pump on. It makes me look like a man. I got the fanny pack with the pump pumping stuff into my veins, and I'm running up the stairs, man, you know. Yeah, I get to the third flight, though, and motivation slows down just a little bit. See, the motive affects every aspect of our life and our seeking and our walking with God. What is driving you toward the will of God? What is driving you away from the will of God? Some of you in this room, I don't have any doubt there's somebody in this room right now who's been struggling with something, and your motive has changed because of the struggle. And your motive is like, oh, I don't understand this. So your why begins to question and to wonder and all those things. And I love it that we have a God that allows us to do those things. But the ultimate thing is we have to come back to the vine. And the trouble is when we try to seek out stuff for our own lives to be able to feel like we're doing this and God is not. And so since motive has to do with the hidden things of the heart, we have to allow God to do that in our lives because I want to be healthy. Do you want to grow? In order to grow, you have to be healthy. In order for the vine to grow, it has to be healthy, and that has to be cultivated. The truth is, the proverb says this, people may be right in their own eyes, but it's the Lord that examines the heart. You can't hide your motive from God. Hide and seek with God is a really dumb game. Ready or not, here I come, and there you are. He knows, right? I mean, he knows. Adam and Eve tried to hide in the trees. Adam, where are you? Such an accommodative thing that our Lord does, because he knew where he was. He wanted Adam to understand what he was. I was naked and I hid myself. And if you're doing that, come on. Just confess it. Get the inner heart of the man where it needs to be. You see, the heart of the inner man, the very center of our passions and motives, and though we think we know what we need, and we often do, we do not know because we cannot guide our own lives. Even we don't know the determinations of our hearts and where that comes. Now, we know our decisions. God's given us free will. We're not ignorant of it. It's just that we push against it because of our sinful nature. And we have to allow Holy Spirit, this is in my notes, Holy Spirit has to come in and produce the fruit that he does in our life. And y'all, we have to allow that to happen. If you're denying the very power of the Holy Spirit in your life, then it's like taking the engine out of your car. It's a beautiful car on the outside, but it will not run without the power that it needs to run. And you need Holy Spirit in your life and begin to seek him more and more in your life. So what I'm going to do from here on out is I'm going to take two things. I could take 20 things. But prune, if you will, a couple of things out of our life today. And remember, I want you to understand that when God cuts things away, he will not leave you empty. I love the principle of pruning because even though at the moment, it may say, well, this is dumb. I'm cutting this thing down. Well, no, you're not cutting it down. You're cutting it to make it grow, and that's what God is trying to do. And the first thing I want you to cut from your life and me from my life is to cut approval from others. We have a culture that lives where we are validated by how other people feel about us. I haven't posted much on Facebook in a very, very long time, and there's lots of reasons for that. And part of it is just when you post something on Facebook, you put it out there and people say some really dumb stuff and then you wind up hurt over something they said about you because you're allowing this approval thing to get in your mind. And so how many likes did I have today? Well, I posted something this last week and there was lots of people that responded to it. And basically, it was my testimony that cancer is gone and God is good. It was some of that stuff. And I want people to understand that it's the inner presence of God that's walking me through all of this. As good as you guys are, you can't uphold me. But God is. I can't uphold you, but God is, and he will. So it's not about likes or friends. It's not what the advertisers are telling you. If you buy this deodorant, you won't ever stink again in your life, and everybody will come to you because he or she don't stink anymore. Oh, I love it. It's ridiculous. And some of those commercials just bother the daylights out of me. I will tell you that. And then you got the small print that you don't read. Take this drug and you'll frolic through the forest and everything will be okay except for all these side effects that they tell them so fast and put them in little tiny stuff at the bottom. I challenge you, if you got pause on your TV, just pause it and read the fine print sometime. Because that's where the truth is. That's where the truth is. And if you're well-being, your sense of approval comes from your spouse, it's in the wrong place. If it comes from your children, it's in the wrong place. How sad it must be, and I wept this week because I made a choice this week to sin in a moment when I was supposed to not sin, and in that choice, I just thought, oh my God, I've replaced your presence with this stupidity, and it wrecked me in the moment. I'm telling you, our motives have to stay focused to where our approval comes from. That is God. Scripture says our purpose is to please God. Can you just read that out loud with me, that phrase? Our purpose is to please God. That's pretty plain. It's pretty plain. Not people. And don't get into the thing here, well, I don't please God. I'm just sorry, low down. I'm no good. I'm a sinner. Don't go there. This is not a heaven, hell kind of path. This is saying that my purpose is more important to please what God wants me in my life than it is to please what you want in my life. It's more important to please what God wants than what Facebook likes tell me or my responses or my What do they call this thing now where you get, everybody's getting podcasts now. Everybody wants a podcast, and they want all these followers. It's influencers. That's a word. And I see these, quote, influencers, and I've never seen these people before in my life. You didn't influence me. They're not after me. They're after these kids over here is what they're after. That's where the vulnerability stands, because they're still shapeable and sponges and moving. I'm just an old guy that's got it all figured out. They're not going to mess with me. There's a little joke in that, but not much. But he says, he alone examines the motives of our hearts. We allow God to trim away the approval from what other people want in our lives in order that we can be healthy. It changes our why. And when we do, here are three things that you're going to get. When God prunes self-approval or approval from others out of you, number one, you get adopted. You get adopted. We are children of God. It astounds me when I start thinking about this, how little I treat that. I have been adopted by the King of the universe as a son, a joint heir with the Son of God, the Son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, approved by God. He is my Father. Because of his love, Scripture says, God has already decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. That was what he wanted. And I love the last phrase. It's what pleased him. Go and throw that text up on there, Amira. This idea is because of his love, he's already decided, and that's what pleased him. He's so pleased at doing that. Number two, our value. We are valued in what God says about us, not what anybody else says or thinks about us. Let me tell you what God thinks of you. Here it is in the text. For we are God's masterpiece. Yes. This lady right down here can paint some cool stuff, Miss Jennifer. Now, I testify to all that. She's an incredible artist for God. And I'm sure somewhere there's that thing you've done where this is like, this is what I'm, that special thing or things. And when you think of God painting Keith, and regardless of what you think, I'm his masterpiece. He says, you're a masterpiece. He says, he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that he planned for us a long time ago. God's already got plans for you. You just need to get in on the game. You just need to get in on what he wants for your life, and he'll show that to you if you like. But number three, we're transformed. We're transformed. When you let God call away self-approval from other people, we become transformed. I love this text. You know where I'm going if you know your Bible at all. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Can I tell you what that exactly means? That phrase means do not let the world press you into its mold. Don't let the billboards shape, young ladies, what you think you ought to look like. That's all painted up. It's all fixed up and put up on a billboard to sell you a load of garbage that you got to look like that to be accepted. Throw those kinds of things out. Be transformed. Don't conform to what the world. Y'all, we are too comfortable with the world, most of us, all the time anyway. That's how we can listen to what we do on TV shows or movies and just not even think about it. We become so accustomed to the language and the pictures and all the things that are there that we say, don't bother me. Well, if it doesn't bother us, there's something wrong with that. We've allowed the world to shape us into its shape. And God said, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you release those things out of your life and you begin letting God put back things in it, he says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when someone bucks against what God wants in your life, have the confidence and the knowledge. And can I just say this as an aside? The more word you know, the more word you have inside of you, the more of God's word you have inside of you, the more ready you're going to be to not be conformed to the world. Because you're going to keep this memory of stuff coming. God said, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll give you what to say. But you got to know what he wants you to say. Having that inside of you will help that. Number two is the first one is self-approval from other people. The second one is like unto it, and that is this. We have to cut selfish ambition out of our life. Notice I didn't say cut ambition. I think God wants us to be ambitious. I think it's good to want to better yourself. I really do. In all kinds of areas of your life. The problem is when we become selfishly ambitious, that things are all about what I can get for me. I'm dealing with somebody in my life right now that all I hear from them is, well, the church did this to me, and such and such did this to me. They don't even go to this church. They're not even in this city. There's somebody outside of this. And it's just this complaint all the time. My pastor didn't do this, and somebody didn't do that for me, and so on. And I'm trying my best to not be just plain out ugly, but I have a little bit of relationship with this person. I said, look, you need to understand that those verses that apply to your pastor apply to you as well. And you need to set your mind on things above and quit worrying about what everybody else is going to give you. You know what's happening to him? He's jumping from church to church to church to church trying to get approval from people. And the ambition that he's looking for is all about, and here are the comments. It's like, oh, man, things are going great for me now. I got a better job. I got a better house. I got a nice car. I got a big old grill. I got that. He's listing all the things he has, and none of them are significant. That's the problem with us, y'all. The significance that we find in the things that we want for ourselves, and that can come in the form of a Big Mac. It can come in the form of a new car. It can come in the form of anything. But when we release all of that to God, the pressure is off because we're trusting him to take care of it. And until we get there, the selfish ambition thing, Scripture says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. I love this phrase, or vain conceit. Don't you love people who are vain and conceited? Just love to hang out with them. It's all about them. As long as you're talking about them, they're happy. And while you're telling them something that's going on in your life, they're thinking about what they're going to tell about their life. They're waiting on telling. They're going to tell their story. It's a vanity. This scripture is coming in my head. It comes from King James. It's old thing. It comes out of Ecclesiastes. When Solomon said, I had everything I wanted, and I called it, it was called vanity and vexation of spirit. That don't even sound good, does it? Do you know what they call the thing you stand in front of in the morning and get ready to go for the day? It's a vanity. You know why? Because at night when you go back in and you take all that stuff off or whatever it is you put on, whatever. Guys, you do the same thing. Just because we don't put on makeup, praise the Lord, I hope you're not. But we don't put it on, just because we're not putting that stuff on, we still want to comb it up. I spray this so it don't move. If you pet my hair, it's going to break. All that stuff. We try to do everything we can to tuck it up and move it. And it is, at the end of the day, we take it all off and we lay down to be comfortable. And there's a picture in my mind that just came. It's like, oh, my goodness. So many of our lives are that way. And we're trusting in the stuff. And it's vanity. It's vain conceit. He said, rather in humility, value others above yourself. The key to vanity is not making yourself less. It's making less about yourself and more about others. And there's a saying in that, I couldn't remember at the moment, but that's it's humility is not, what is it, thinking of yourself less. It's thinking less of yourself and more of others. There it is. Not looking to your own interest, but each to the interest of others. So our focus comes not on selfish ambition and what I can get, but what can I do with what I have to give to others? Man, you challenged me, Keith, yesterday in group. We were talking in group yesterday, and we was talking about passing somebody on the road. And listen, before I say this, I pass more people than I help. But yesterday, I went to get some lunch, it was more like lupper. It was between lunch and supper, and so I went to get this food. And as I was leaving the place, I'm coming around the curve, and there's two ladies sitting on the sidewalk with a sign that says, I need some food. And it just got put on my heart. Okay, do what Keith said. I wish I could say do what God said, but it's what Keith said. Give them some food. And so I had our food in the car. I thought, okay. It was Firehouse Subs. And Firehouse is going to think I'm crazy when I go back in and order this food again. Or, man, he eats a lot. Quick. And I stopped and gave him the food. I'm not patting myself on the back. And I know when you tell a blessing like that, you kind of lose the whole focus on what you're doing. But it felt really good for the moment to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I don't know what it's going to. It doesn't matter the reason. I just want to help them. I want to be that. So thank you for putting it in my heart and challenging me that day. And I'm just saying for us to get out of ourselves, let God cut away the selfish ambition. The first thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to become generous. You're going to become generous. Generosity is not listed in the fruits of the Spirit, but it's there. that God doesn't give us anything that he doesn't want us to give away. In the context of forgiving others, Jesus said this, give and you will receive. Now, we've pulled that passage up and applied it to money and all these things. You hear the prosperity gospel where if you'll do this, God will give you that. And you plant a seed and God will fill you up and all those things. And there's some truth in a lot of that. I think God can bless us financially, but this is not a financial verse. This verse is about forgiveness. He's saying, in the context of forgiving someone else, if you give forgiveness, you're going to receive that. And I love this. Your gift will return to you. Full pressed down, shaken together, making room for more, running over, poured into your lap. What does that mean? I use stevia to sweeten my coffee in the morning. And so I ordered a box of stevia yesterday. We got this little canister it sits in. I had some in there already, but I was about out, so I ordered some more. And I'm putting it in. I wanted it all to fit in the thing. So as I put it in, I would shake it and press it, shake it and press it. All the stevias on the bottom are saying, please, man. You know, if you do that for yourself, yo, since Toy Story, I animate everything. I'm sorry. So the stevia's on the bottom going, no, but I wanted them all to fit. So I pushed down, shook, pushed down, shook, pushed down, shook. I couldn't get them all in there. But my point is God saying, if you will give other people forgiveness, I will pour out forgiveness on you that you can't even understand. When you shake it down and press it together, that means God is putting more and more and more into you. You can't outgive God. I can't outgive God. You can't do it. You can't do it. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about everything in our life. God wants it all. Translation is you can't forgive without God saying, hey, I'm just going to keep pouring it out on you as well. Number two, when you give up selfish ambition, you become supportive. You become supportive. Our very org structure here is all about us supporting one another. And God, help us to get on board with that and understand and begin to think more clearly about it, because the enemy's trying to get into some of your heads about it. Who's over me? It's not about who's over you. It's who are you supporting? Yep. Who are you lifting up? Yep. That's why we flipped it upside down in the first place. We want the leaders on the bottom. We're here just to support you. I'm here just to bless you. That's it. You're here to bless me and to bless others around you, people in your family and so on. Scripture says share each other's burdens and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. Oh, man, I'm laughing at me, my time. When I get outside of myself, I can fully invest in your life. And until I do, amen, I'm all into me. And the last one of this point is this. If you're going to get rid of selfish ambition, you will be fulfilled to see the fruit of your labor. I didn't put that last part. I meant to. So if you'll put out beside fulfilled, when you are fulfilled, that means you get to see the fruit of your labor. I think it's in the Thessalonian letters. I'm listening to the epistles again, and I think it's in the Thessalonian letters where Paul said, my reward is you. My gift, what God is going to gift me with in the end is you. When I get to see it. Steve, what's more satisfying to you than to go into mission field and know that your brother who's coming Thursday night is having fruit all over the place? You couldn't give this man enough money to replace the feeling that he gets, that he and Connie both get from when he sees what happens in mission field and it happens and people are being blessed and loved and healed and served and all those things. It becomes almost like the best kind of addiction in the world to see other people thrive out of you. John Maxwell calls it this. He calls it adding value to the lives of other people. He said, I don't even share the gospel with somebody until I've added value to their life. It speaks into their life. When you add value to other people's lives, it opens their hearts up to you and what you have to say. And too many of us are trying to shove Jesus down somebody's throat to make them understand what we know already and not serving them until they figure it out. We say here, you can belong before you believe. Because we want you to understand that we want to pour our life into you and help you with that. I wish we were perfect at it. We're not. We're getting there. We're going to get better and better and better. Paul says this, when we're generous to others over and above our own self-interest and care more about the success of other people than we do our own success, here's what Paul describes that as in 2 Corinthians 9:13. It is a proof of your faith. It is a proof of your faith. When you and I value other people to the level, I watched this kid over here play drums. Part of the reason he plays drums is because I poured my life into him. I'm not bragging on that. I'm just saying. If he messes up, I didn't have anything to do with it. But I get to see. I was worshiping this morning, and I was just thinking about, I watched him, and he's singing while he's playing. Y'all know how hard that is? To get this hand, and this leg to do all different things and sing praises at the same time. I marvel at what Micah gets to do. He's up here plucking the guitar and singing, and the Holy Spirit comes into him, and he just starts talking while he's plucking the guitar. Man, I'd have to be going like, oh, God, that's a gift. It's a gift. And when I see all of those things happen, that's the fruit of somebody's faith somewhere. He says, many people will praise God because you obey the good news of Christ. The gospel you can say that you say you believe. That little phrase, it's the gospel you say you believe. You say you believe that God can do anything through you and in you and bless other people. But the question there is easy. Are you allowing him to do that? He goes on to say, and because you freely share with them and with all others, that it's proof of your faith. It takes all the pressure off in life to make sure that I am not the point. If you're having trouble in your marriage, can you just say in your mind right now, you don't say it out loud because I don't want people to know you're having trouble, but say in your mind, you know what? If I could just understand that I'm not the point here. You got a relationship problem with somebody else? Maybe it's because you think you're the point. And you're not. The sooner I can get to a humility state in my life that I am a servant of God and that he is my king and he gives me all that I need and nobody else can, the sooner I get to that point, the happier I become in my life. Because then it takes the pressure off of you guys to do what I want you to do. I'm a fixer and a pastor, so I look at people and I go, from a pastor's heart, I'm like, man, if they could just do this and this and this, they would be fixed. And that's hard for a fixer to look at people and go, man, you're just making a bad choice. My friend I told you about earlier, every time I challenge him, I say, all those scriptures point back to you, brother. What are you doing right now to fulfill those who left somebody else's life? I get back something like, well, but you just don't understand. Such and such did this and this and this. He's got to remove himself and his own ambitions out of the way. And for some of you, that's difficult right now. And here's part of the problem. For some of you, the person you're trying to impress and be better with and have a better relationship with, they're acting a fool. And they need to know it. But they may not need you to tell them because they ain't about you. They need to hear from somebody. And if you're having problems in your marriage or your relationships or whatever, I'm not even going to say what I had in my mind. I thought it over and I'm not going to say it. But you got to look in the mirror. That's the point. And I'll be honest with you, that I fight that all the time. Because I'm a very passionate, feeling kind of person. And man, that's hard sometimes. But what is your why? To be serious servants of the Lord, and God knows we need them in our church. Y'all look around this room, there's a lot fewer empty seats, and some of them should be filled today by people who are out sick or whatever. We're pushing 160 people in here every Sunday. We're way over 80% capacity, which means we have to move to a two-service church. Or God give us another building. He can do both of those. But before we can do that, we have to have servants. And you guys step it up better than I've ever seen in churches. But here's the thing. We got to get ourselves out of the way to continue to do that. I said it last week in our vision statement. If we're not willing to be inconvenienced, then we're missing the point. Now today, we're going to end our service. Very challenging message, amen? This is challenging to me. I hope y'all know that when I'm saying these things, it's like the guy that's got one finger pointing, I got three back at me, so I'm not claiming to be anything here that I'm not. Today we're going to end our service and our time together with some time. Prayer team, if you guys want to come down here, I want to give everybody the opportunity to pray again. I appreciate Micah for calling that out in the middle of service. Jesus is our ultimate example. That's the last point of the day. And what I want to say about that is this, that Jesus was motivated by what his Father wanted him to do in this world. We're going to end our service with a baptism today. Jesus himself was baptized, not for the same reason we are. He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. John said, man, I can't be baptized. You need to be baptized to me, not me, you. And the whole point of that is that Jesus said, we've got to do what's right. Jesus set himself as an example in everything, especially self-approval, selfish ambition. He had none of that in him. And it cost him his life. Can I just encourage you to say, if you give up yourself, you follow Christ, it costs you everything. It does. And I think that's why some of you are resisting. Because you're not willing to, you're willing to give up like this over here, this over here, and this over here. But this over here, you got something you just want to hold on to. And he's saying to you, let it go. Let it go. This morning, some of you, when we get ready for the baptism back here, when some of you need to just don't wait on that. You need to come down here and pray with these people. You need to get up out of your chair and come pray. Because you need help to get all these things out of your way. Let God call them from your life so that your motives are where they need to be. Because here's the bottom line. The last point is this. It's not on your paper, but it motives matter. It matters. Father, help us to humble ourselves today. As we witness Braylee giving her life one more step closer to you, Father, in this baptism, this burial of the old Braylee to raise the new Braylee, the one who has trusted you as Savior, the one who loves you and is focused on you, God. May you be glorified in all of it, Lord, and even others who may want to come today to submit to this. Father, we love the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection that we're about to see, that one more time we get to see how powerful you are. So, God, we pray bless, that you will bless her from this day forward as your child to continue to seek you, God. Nothing else. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to draw your attention, guys. If you want to stand like this,